on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Breaking news on the Fox News standpoint. We'll give you that here in just a couple of minutes. But I do want to make sure I get Ted Cruz in. He was on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. The House passed the debt ceiling bill. The big question is, what comes next? Kevin McCarthy is in Jerusalem. Chuck Schumer is in his own world. But I want you to hear from Ted Cruz. It's cut three. He was on Sunday Morning Futures on Fox.
What happens to this bill, which passed in the House, when it reaches the Senate?
Well, it'll be up to Chuck Schumer whether to bring it up for a vote. I don't know if Schumer's going to or not. I got to say, I want to commend House Republicans. They have demonstrated bold leadership. They brought the conference together. It wasn't easy. There are lots of different factions. They have a very narrow majority in the House, and yet the House came together. House conservatives played an active role in drafting this bill, and this bill takes major steps to reining in spending. It takes major steps to reining in the regulations that are killing jobs across this country. It takes major steps to getting people back to work. This bill is an exercise in being responsible. And, Maria, I got to say, the contrast could not be starker. The Republicans in the House are responsible, and Joe Biden, what is he saying? He's saying, I will not talk, I will not negotiate, I will not give in on anything, anyhow, any way. And what is happening is Joe Biden is gambling. Joe Biden needs to stop playing roulette with the American economy and with the American credit limit. What is happening here, yeah. There is one person on planet Earth that can ensure we will never, ever, ever have a default. That person's name is Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. Why is that? Because every month, the federal government takes in more in tax revenue than we have in expenditures, which means we can always service our debt. And here's what a responsible president would say. Joe Biden would look at the TV camera and say, America will never default on our debt. We will always pay the interest on the debt. You can count on that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to say that. Why? Because he wants to fearmonger. He wants to scare the equity markets. He wants to scare the bond markets. And what he is doing right now is wildly irresponsible.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if markets start reacting, because once confidence is broken, you get in that cycle of dropping valuations in the stock market,
yeah.
Only adding to the pressure. 70% of the people who have been polled in Fox News polls say that they're unhappy with the job Biden is doing on the economy. 70% others say that they do not want him to run for re-election. What's your take on Biden running for re-election, announcing it this week, the day after Susan Rice steps down? I found that very curious. Why did Susan Rice step down right before her boss was about to announce his re-election?
Look, I think rats are fleeing the ship. Joe Biden, you look at the little three-minute video that he did. It obviously had to be from a teleprompter because they couldn't trust him to actually stand in front of a crowd and speak. His message, he couldn't talk about any policy because the policy has been a mess. He couldn't talk about inflation. It's been a mess. He couldn't talk about crime. He couldn't talk about immigration. He certainly couldn't talk about foreign policy. Instead, his message, finish the job. This job has been disastrous. Everything Biden has touched has gotten worse.
And it gets worse. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. We got breaking news from Fox News via our friends at Newsmax. Don't know if this is a test drive, but it looks like we've got at least a temporary replacement for Tucker Carlson. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's looking that way, Kevin. Fox News has picked Lawrence Jones as the temporary replacement for the time slot, the 5 to 6 here on the West Coast to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And Jones is 30 years old, and he's considered to be the youngest black solo host of a cable news show in history. So a little double news there for you.
Wow. Now, we don't know if this is a test drive. I'm knowing what I know about Fox. I worked for Fox back in the, the early 2000s. And I got to tell you, the way they do things, it sounds like this is a test drive. And if the ratings don't tank, and if he has something to say, if he plays nice in the sandbox, then maybe he gets a shot at the full-time gig. I'm not sure if they would want an African-American, whether they would want a female in that slot. Don't know. They replaced Brett Baer with a female. And maybe they're just looking for the right female. And again, so many times it comes down to, well, we're waiting for somebody to get out of contract somewhere else.
Yeah, it could be. Jones is a self-described libertarian, and because that's important. You know, there's a real independent streak with Tucker, and you got to figure the people in that time slot are looking for something different, not the Republican line of the day, which is what you usually get from, Sean Hannity and maybe to a lesser degree, Laura Ingraham. But, they are desperate because, Tucker's audience was 3.2 million viewers. It was 2.6 million in his last broadcast. So it was about the same on Monday. It was about 2.6 million last week when the news broke. The next night, it dropped down to 1.7 million.
Yikes.
And then the next night after that, it dropped to 1.3 million. And somebody who most conservatives don't even know, Chris Hayes, who's Chris Hayes? He won the night because he had more viewers than Fox had.
He beat Fox?
And he beat Fox just barely by a few thousand people. But still, 1.3 million compared to 3.2 million, that is a big, big drop. And especially in that 25 to 54-year-old age group, that's where most of the advertisers like to go. And they dropped big time from, a half a million down to 160-some thousand. So huge, huge drop. And Fox is trying to apply a tourniquet before it gets too late.
Wow. Any word on how long this temporary status will continue?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
I think it's his job right now, and if he does well and gets some ratings, they might keep him in that chair for a while.
We'll find out. Coming up, Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We'll find out what's on his mind on this first day of May right here on AM 670 KMZQ.
KMZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Stop in now for a premium synthetic blend oil change for only $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
That looks like commuters are averaging about 35 miles per hour right now on the freeway on Interstate 15 southbound there at Spring Mountain as you approach that Tropicana construction zone. Those lane restrictions will continue for the next year or so. But, hey, when it's done, you'll be able to get off the freeway no problem and maybe go see a baseball game sometime soon through there. You'll tap the brakes downtown through the Spaghetti Bowl, 515 northbound at Main Street. A lot of congestion still on the Southern Beltway, westbound 215 at Gillespie. And watch for a couple of injury incidents, Jones at Sahara and Boulder Highway at Nellis.
From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, I'm Bob Stitch with this KMZQ Sports Flash. This update powered by Progressive. Baseball Sunday, the Dodgers beat the Cardinals 6-3. The A's over the Reds 5-4. The Padres beat the Giants 6-4. The Angels shut out the Brewers 3-0. The Rockies 12-4 winners over the Diamondbacks. Vegas Golden Knights are set for the second round of the NHL playoffs. They'll take on the Edmonton Oilers. Game 1 in Vegas this Wednesday night. The Oilers eliminated the LA Kings in 6 games. The Golden Knights took care of Winnipeg in 5 games. Vegas has home ice advantage game 2 on Friday at home before the series shifts to Edmonton. NBA playoffs tonight. Suns and Nuggets game 2 in Denver. The Nuggets up 1-0 in the series after a 125-107 win on Saturday. Golden State eliminated Sacramento in Game 7 last night, 120-100 the final. The Warriors move on to battle the Lakers Game 1 tomorrow in San Francisco. This update powered by Progressive. I'm Bob Stitch from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip with your KMZQ Sports Flash.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, You know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTRCM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by...
If you owe back taxes to the IRS, you haven't filed your taxes in a while, or you have a lien against you or your business, there is hope. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Whether you've been audited or face any number of other tax issues, turn to my friends at New Hope Tax Defense. Many people are so glad they did, like Maria.
I was desperate, and New Hope Tax Defense helped me resolve all my tax issues. Gave me hope.
Don't lose any more sleep. New Hope Tax Defense has helped doctors, attorneys, and many others reduce their tax debt and get their business back on track. New Hope is not a call center. When you call, you'll speak directly with one of their tax professionals right here in Las Vegas. They aim to resolve your issues, not put you on a payment plan that could take a lifetime to pay off. Call New Hope Tax Defense, 702-483-0220. That's 702-483-0220. Or check them out at newhopetaxdefense.com. Call right now, 702-483-0220.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
He's one of our favorite guests, and he kicks off every week here on Live and Local. He is Victor Jakes, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. It's always good to have him on because he knows a lot about a lot of stuff, including state government, public policy here in the state, and talks about the national issues as well. Victor Jakes joined us earlier today. He's a columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and we started out by talking about the whole notion of another mass shooting, this one in Cleveland, Texas, and I asked him if the shooter was still at large.
Last thing I read is he's still at large. The amazing thing about, not amazing, that's the wrong word, but the thing about these mass shootings is every situation is unique, and this is one I think, people haven't really heard a lot about. It's not at a school, it's not at a workplace. It sounded like it was a dispute between neighbors. One gentleman was firing off a firearm, and his neighbors asked him to stop, and he retaliated by murdering them, apparently, which is a tragedy. But I predict this one will soon fade from the public consciousness because the shooter, as it turns out, was an illegal immigrant. And that's an inconvenient narrative, and therefore, this mass shooting won't get the same attention that some other ones have.
I got to tell you, I spent 3 days down along our southern border in McAllen, Texas, and it was eye-opening, and it's scary, the amount of these people. And in this particular case, the Cleveland, Texas shooting, the guy had been deported and come back and deported and come back multiple times. This is a problem that is not just about illegal immigration, but legal immigration. Is there a way to fix the legal immigration part of this thing?
Well, I mean, I think what's happening is, it's interesting that, Trump obviously made stopping illegal immigration such a big part of his 2016 campaign, and his chant was build the wall, build the wall. And even though that didn't, get done as much as I think I would have liked or you would have liked, the Trump administration had really great success with some policies that focused on stopping the flow of illegal immigrants who come here and claim asylum. And that's actually the biggest problem we have right now, I would say, is that, there's no need to try and sneak across the border if you're an illegal immigrant. You just come to the border, you present yourself at a processing station, and you say, I'm here seeking asylum. And, you know, we have very generous asylum rules, but you can't seek asylum just because you're poor and you know that if you come here, you'll be better off. That's not a valid reason. But what's happening with the Biden administration, in many cases, not all cases, in many cases, people are coming to the border. They're saying that, and then they're being released while their case is processed. But then guess what? They just never show back up in many circumstances. And so they're coming here through the legal process, but they're being able to end up staying illegally. And what the Trump administration did and what the Biden administration actually is sort of planning to do at the end of Title 42 soon is to change that and say, if you want to claim asylum, you have to remain in Mexico or stay in a different country while we process your claim and figure out if it's valid or not. And the beauty of that is that if you have a valid claim, right, you'll come and you'll know, hey, I'm being prosecuted for religious reasons or whatever, or ethnic reasons. But if you know, well, shoot, I'm just going to get there. I'm only moving for economic reasons and I'm not even going to get released in the United States. Eventually, those people aren't even going to come. And so you're not just going to, you know, solve the problem. You're going to actually start reducing the problem in the long term. That was something the Trump administration did that was really a game changer in terms of people coming across the border illegally.
So what happens on May 11th when Title 42 ends? I talked to Border Patrol agents who told me, in their view, it's not going to do much other than it's going to take us longer to get rid of these illegal people that are among us. What do you guesstimate will happen on May 12th, the day after this thing expires?
I think there's going to be an absolute surge of people coming across the border. Outside of El Paso, there are 40,000 people gathered right now waiting for May 11th to come and go so they can cross on May 12th. And the Biden administration knows this is a disaster. Even, you know, it's amazing, these sanctuary cities in New York and Chicago are saying, it's too much. We can't handle a few thousand illegal immigrants. It's like, man, that's what El Paso's getting in a week, is what you're having to deal with in, you know, a year. And you guys are complaining about it. Yeah, maybe this is a problem. Maybe the Biden administration needs to stop it and needs to do something. And so, you know, what the Biden administration is saying they're wanting to do, and of course, they actually have to enforce it, is they're saying that if someone comes here and then they're found to not have a valid asylum claim, they're going to kick them out. They're going to try and do it quicker. And they're going to say you can't, you know, try again for 5 years. And they're actually going to try and set up these some processing centers in Central America and basically redo the Remain in Mexico policy that the Trump administration had in place. So I'm not super optimistic they have the actual desire to see these through and to suffer the pushback from the radical left on this issue. But those are the types of things you would do if you wanted to stop the border crisis, is you would cut down on this flow of people who are coming here and falsely claiming asylum and then being allowed to remain in the country.
I want to ask you about something we talked about on our trip to Texas, and that was all of the illegals coming across with the help of the drug cartels. The drug cartels are bringing sexual trafficking. They're bringing fentanyl. Is it time to declare them a terrorist organization and go to war with them?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not all up to speed on what that would entail. But, you know, obviously these are just horrific organizations that are preying on human lives, just despicable folks. But, you know, you have to look at what the Biden administration is doing with their policies that are incentivizing people to go through this. I mean, that's the thing, right, is the cartels, for the most part, are not kidnapping people and forcing them into this. People are going, and they may be misled about what's going to happen to them, but they know, hey, I go through hell, I get into the United States, it's worth it. And that's the problem. That's the message that we need to counter. The border is closed. If you are coming here for economic reasons, you are not going to be allowed into the United States. So don't make the trip. And that, if we can cut off the demand for people to be moved up through Central America and into the United States, that's what's going to cut the cartels off at the knees.
I want to talk about another story that crossed in the last week, and that is another economic report that And I got to be honest with you, I don't know what to believe. If I listen to Larry Kudlow, it was a horrible, horrible economic report late last week. And if you believe the Biden administration, it was great. Great things happening. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Which is it, good or bad?
Well, I think it's bad. I mean, if you just the overall perspective, it's bad. I think what you're seeing is, you know, inflation is high, but growth is what was it, at a 1.1% annualized rate.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at stagflation, right? You're looking at high inflation. You're looking at low growth because, you know, in theory, if you have high inflation, you should also have high growth because, you know, everything's getting more expensive. So the economy looks like it's growing. And what the problem is that, you know, when you let the economy run too hot and then you start printing lots of money, you get stagflation. And it appears that's where we're headed. I think it's unclear, you know, how bad it gets, what happens with the banking sector, you know, how much do the layoffs ripple through the economy. Hopefully people are able to keep their houses. You know, maybe the low interest rates help people stay in their homes. But, you know, you start running into problems where, you know, someone loses their job in Nevada and they need to go move to Arizona, but they can't sell their house because their interest rate is 3%. And, you know, they're worried, well, if I go to Arizona, my interest rate is going to be 6.5%. I'm going to have to downgrade my house. And, you know, and so you start running into these problems that can start building and compounding on each other. And we just, you know, we don't know how bad it's going to get.
Vector Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Good guy and knows a lot about a lot of stuff. Read his columns in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Really thought-provoking stuff. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall. Great to have you with us on this Monday edition of Live and Local on AM 670 KMZQ.
When the whole world seems to be in a state of confusion, Andy Vieira and Mark Thomas help you sort it out. Join the club weekday morning 6 to 9 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Union Strong means bringing jobs into our valley. Union Strong means opportunities for personal growth. Union Strong is fellowship, taking care of one another on and off the job site. Our union has been working hard for the interests of working men and women for decades and will always be there for the communities we serve. Laborers Union Local 872, celebrating 85 Launa proud years of justice, honor, and strength.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casal, the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer Employee Benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employees and dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees, with national access and the finest hospitals and physicians in United States. Call the Multicare Group today for your no-obligation quote, 702-396-9449. We have access to all the carriers that offer health insurance, dental coverage, vision care, group life and disability insurance. Allow our relationships to guarantee you the most competitive rates. The Multicare Group can provide you with all these services, plus we can offer payroll services at the most competitive rates, along with the best workers' compensation programs available in the country. Call Patrick Casal of the Multicare Group today, 702-396-9449.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. Hiring the right lawyer can make a huge difference. It can decide how much money you put in your pocket. If you've been injured in an accident, call me right now. 728-5500.
Paul Powell. More lawyer, less fee.
Hi, this is Republican Assemblywoman Melissa Hardy from Assembly District 22. I'm proud to represent areas of Henderson, including Cadence, Sun City McDonald Ranch, and portions of East Henderson. Catch me on the Kevin Wall Show on AM 670, where Kevin and I will be talking all things related to the 2023 legislative session. Tune in to hear the latest on what's happening in the building and to get updates about legislation that may impact you and your family. To learn more about me, go to Hardy4Nevada.com.
I'm Little Timmy. I'm a tax person. I know numbers. Good. What are deductions? Audits sound fun. Let's get an audit.
You wouldn't let little Timmy do your taxes because he's not an expert and would get you arrested for tax evasion. So when your car needs repair, stick with the experts at Meineke Car Care Centers, your one-stop shop for total car care. Get a basic oil change starting at $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right. At participating locations, terms and conditions apply.
It's not over yet. I need your help to save the world.
Done, Barry?
Not.
Flash! Let's do this one last time.
The Flash. Wednesday at 8 on the CW Las Vegas.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. Use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate. And de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer. Whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested, don't argue, don't resist, don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more about how to help law enforcement accomplish its goals, visit nationalpolice.org.
The same great show with the same great host, just at a new time. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Want to switch gears a little bit. Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, this is cut one, by the way, yesterday accused the Secretary of State of lying to Congress. Listen to this.
Your investigation into Hunter Biden and his business dealings began when? Because I want to get into the Anthony Blinken situation now that we heard from John Ratcliffe. Right. But your investigation began when? 2018 or even earlier than that?
Really focusing on the Bidens, probably the tail end of 2019 and then into 2020, where, of course, we had the pandemic outbreak, so that didn't make things easier. You know, quite honestly, I didn't have the full support of my committee or the conference to subpoena the Bidens. They thought it was too political.
Right.
So, you know, they were professing their innocence, so we invited all of them to come in and testify to proclaim their innocence. What is interesting, Marie, and here's a little news for you. Anthony Blinken finally did come in and sit down for a voluntary transcribed interview in December of 2020 because he wanted to be Secretary of State. And now because of more information that's come out, we know that he lied bold-faced to Congress about never emailing Hunter Biden. My guess is he told a bunch of other lies that hopefully we'll be able to bring him and his wife back in, tell them to preserve their records. You cannot trust Joe Biden. You cannot trust Hunter Biden. You can't trust the Biden family. You can't trust so many of the people that they have surrounded themselves with.
This
I mean, these made men. I basically agree with that statement.
Yeah, I mean, that was
it is. Here's the problem, Marie. What do you do when you have, in effect, co-conspirators of the Biden family inside the agencies, inside our intelligence agencies, the Department of Justice, the FBI, and you have the political party, the Democrats, who couldn't care less, have no interest whatsoever in the corruption that is being uncovered bit by bit as we pull back the layers of the onion here, as we peel them back.
So just to be clear, you just said you believe Anthony Blinken lied to you under oath.
Yes, he did. He said he did not email Hunter Biden, and now we have those emails. We also know that his wife, using her private email address when she was a employee of the State Department, was basically a conduit between her husband and Hunter Biden as well. So again, I think there's so much more to uncover here. There's so much more investigation. He needs to be subpoenaed. I don't have that subpoena power. He ought to come in just voluntarily if he wants to proclaim his innocence. I doubt he'll do that, but he must and she must preserve their records, their personal emails. We need to get to the bottom of this. We need to show how corrupt these individuals are.
That's Ron Johnson, the senator of Wisconsin. Stay with us. More to do. We're going to leave you laughing in a couple of minutes. Stick around. You're going to want to be here for this one from the White House Correspondents' Dinner as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
The revolution is being broadcast. Wayne Allen Root, this afternoon, 3 to 6, on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hi, I'm Danielle Gallant, your Assemblywoman from Nevada's 23rd District. With the Biden-Harris liberal agenda causing skyrocketing inflation, rising crime,